This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, we'll hear from Republican congressional candidate Brian Ellis, who is challenging incumbent Justin Amash in this summer's GOP primary. But first, there will be a new representative in Michigan's 63rd State House District next year. The current representative, State House Speaker Jace Bulger, cannot run again because of term limits. One Democrat and two Republicans are running to represent the district that includes part of Kalamazoo and also part of Calhoun County. Kalamazoo County Commissioner Dave Maturin is seeking the Republican nomination for the State House seat in the 63rd District. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and the folks to listen to WMUK.
We also are joined today by Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thanks for having me.
And Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Alex Mitchell.
Thanks for having me, Gordon.
Dave Maturin, please begin by telling us a little bit more about yourself and briefly why you're running for State House.
Well, essentially, I'm running for State House. I'd like to take the record that I've developed at Kalamazoo County Government to Lansing. We've done a really good job of containing costs and bringing efficiencies to county government, reining in legacy costs. And I'd like to take that experience to Lansing to take a look at what I can do for the citizens of the state of Michigan and the 63rd District.
Jennifer Bowman, first question for Dave Maturin.
Well, I guess we'll start with roads. It's everyone's not-so-favorite topic, but seems to be the one everyone talks about. Can't get a deal passed by state lawmakers right now, but roads are still crumbling. Calhoun County Township roads, which includes some of the 63rd District, they've estimated $284 million in cost to get it to good condition. If you're in Lansing, what do you think needs to be done?
Well, I think we need to obviously take a look at what we can do for roads within the existing budget. Roads are funded through Act 51 money. People are driving more fuel-efficient cars, fewer miles. Therefore, there's less money coming into the road system. I know they've been struggling. It seems like every day you see something in one of the two reporting services from Lansing. They got a deal. They don't have a deal. They included this. They didn't include that. I guess my approach, and that's basically what I've heard from just about everybody I've talked to in the thousands of doors I've knocked on last couple months, is what are you going to do about the roads? But a lot of people still don't want to have any increased fees for it. I think what I would like to do is take a look at the budget, state budget, see what money is available there, see if we can prioritize things. We've done that on the county level, and find money to use for roads in addition to the Act 51 money. But it's got to be a permanent solution. It just can't be a one-time, gee, we found some money this year because the economy was good or whatever. So we've got to find a way of doing it. If it takes some sort of an increase, you have to take a look at what we're doing, how we're doing roads. I wouldn't be adverse to an increase if, in fact, that was the only option. That, of course, would come with some reforms, such as guarantees for roads, other type of issues, how we build roads and how we go about it. So I wouldn't be in favor of anything unless we got some reforms in how we deal with our road system.
But if something's going to be increased, should it be gas tax, vehicle registration fees? Where would you want to go?
You know, I think you could probably take a look at all of the vehicle registration fees, gas tax. You have cars that don't burn fuel, that burn electricity, so to speak. They also use a road, so there's got to be some method of, I guess, distributing the burden. I would also like to see as much money as possible go into the roads and not into other issues that are tied with the roads. I think right now it's critical to get the roads fixed first things first, potholes first. Worry about other side issues such as pedestrian walkways and things like that are really nice for society. But I think right now the people want to see those chuck holes, potholes fixed in front of their house.
Alex Mitchell.
Dave, a package of bills passed the House and Senate last week that would exempt gun ownership forms, permits, or licenses from Freedom of Information Act requests. Would this have been a measure that you supported?
I would have supported that. I haven't followed it completely and wasn't aware of all of the dialogue that went on. But to me, I think there's been some abuses of it where people have filed FOIAs and harassed legitimate gun owners. And I think they've got a right to not have that information public. I think the police have access to it, if I'm not mistaken. And I think there are some prohibitions against the police not using it for appropriate police purposes. I guess my gut reaction, without having seen all the legislation and dealing with the dialogue, would be I would have supported that.
Jennifer,
how would you have voted on the minimum wage hike?
I would have voted for the bill that finally passed. I'm not really wild about government telling employers what they should pay their employees and what kind of compensation package they should offer to them, but I think the bill that did pass was probably the, I don't want to call it evil, lesser two evils, for lack of a better word. I think that the fact that the virtually every restaurateur I talked to really thought that was going to be a very, very difficult situation for them to deal with. And so that exempted them from the whatever the typical rate would have been and put it on a percentage. And at least they were happy with that. So I think it was something that was likely to pass in one format or another, and I would have voted for it.
Are you saying that you would prefer the state not have a minimum wage at all?
I guess they do, and it's not something you're going to get around. And I think there's going to be some minimum wage at some point in time, either imposed by the state or the federal government. I'm just saying that I'm a little hesitant to have government telling the private sector employers how to compensate their people.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Kalamazoo County Commissioner Dave Maturin. He is a candidate for State House in the 63rd District, which includes parts of both Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties. We're also joined by Alex Mitchell of the Kalamazoo Gazette and Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman. Jennifer.
Townships are considering possible millages for improving the roads. Do you think that's the way for them to go?
I certainly think that's if the citizens in that township want to levy a millage for it, I think that's fine. I don't see any problem with people voluntarily wanting to pay a millage. I believe it's Climax Township has had two mills for roads for an awful long time. They got some pretty nice secondary roads in Climax Township. I'm not sure if that necessarily is the way to go. I'd really like to tie it more to a user fee. But you can say that the properties out there benefit by having a better road in front of them. So I think there's some nexus between the tax and the benefit. And I think Texas Township levies a per parcel, $60 per parcel for that. So it's not necessarily tied to a millage. You get the same benefit whether you got a $60,000 house or a $600,000 house. So perhaps the way Texas went on a per parcel basis may be more equitable. But I think anytime people want to do things to improve their infrastructure and do it with their own taxes, I think that's fine.
The concern I hear from township supervisors, they say, I don't get any direct funding from the state. I don't have enough authority when it comes to improving my roads. Do you have any suggestions, or do you think there needs to be this direct flow of money to the townships from the state?
Well, right now the Act 51 funding is split up between the state and the county road commissions and cities and villages. And townships, for whatever reason, way back when Act 51 was put in place, essentially get money through the road commissions. And here in Kalamazoo, they have what they call PAR funds, participating funds, where the county or non-county primary roads will come up with a match money. And if the township matches that, then they'll take that money and use that for roads. We did that for years in Brady Township, where we'd allocate general fund money to the match with the county road commission and pave some of our roads. The problem is that there's never enough money to go around, and we were even turning paved roads back to gravel back then simply because they're cheaper to maintain and probably in some instances better than the paved roads we have now with the potholes in them.
Alex?
Dave, last year on this program when we spoke with Michigan House Speaker Jace Bolger, the man you're looking to replace, he said he would be open to exploring the possible decriminalization of marijuana so that possession of small amounts could result in a civil infraction and just a fine. Would that be something that you would be open to exploring?
I think I would be open to exploring it. I think our prisons and jails are filled with a lot of low-level minor drug user criminals, and I don't think that's a very good use of the county's taxpayers to put somebody away for $30,000, $40,000 a year. I think it's something to take a look at. You've got some experiments out west, Colorado and maybe Washington State, that have legalized marijuana or decriminalized it to some extent. I mean, I haven't followed it completely. But, you know, let's take a look at those experiments and see where we're at from that. And we also have things in Kalamazoo County, like our drug courts, which I think, you know, try to deal with people that are first-time low-level drug users, put them in a drug court, give them some support. That's certainly far better spending the $2,000-$3,000 it costs us to do a drug court intervention, and we were one of the first in the country to do it, rather than spending $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year putting somebody in jail or in prison. So I'd like to see something along that line. But obviously I don't know everything all about the issue, but it's certainly something worth exploring.
Do you think that the state should be putting any more limitations on the use of medical marijuana, which the voters have approved in this state? There's been some regulations put in place. Do you think the state needs to do more there, or should they leave things where they're at for now?
That's another issue I haven't heard about when I've been knocking on doors. You know, the voters voted for it. I mean, it was a popular thing for folks to want to have in the state. And I think we're probably at a point right now where there are probably appropriate, if you need safeguards, there are probably appropriate safeguards for the community and what they've enacted.
Jennifer?
Something that the state Supreme Court has prohibited is storefront dispensaries. And from medical marijuana users, they say that limits my safe access. Now I have to go to a caregiver's home. Who knows how safe that is? Do you think there should be a change in that?
So you say they've eliminated storefront dispensaries, and then you got to go to someone's home?
You have to get it directly from your caregiver.
Directly from your caregiver. You know, I guess I don't know enough about that topic and whether it endangers the health, safety, and welfare of the general public having it that way. But obviously, if it's something that's legal, there should be a method by which a person can obtain that.
Safely,
yeah.
Alex?
Governor Snyder has mentioned the possibility of examining the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act to include protections for LGBT citizens. Would that be something that you'd support?
You know, I think I need to know a little bit more about the ramifications of that. I know the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act has been around for a long time, and there are several protected classes already in that. I've heard Speaker Bolger talk about some of the issues, pro and con. I think it's certainly something we should take a look at. I know the business community is, I think business leaders from Michigan have come out and said this is something we need to do. We need to attract talented people to come here, and if this is an impediment to that, then perhaps we should take a look at it. I'm not really sure which way I'd go on that at this point in time, but I think we need to do what we can to make this a place for folks that can contribute to our society and are creative and want to be employed in the jobs that we're creating to come to Michigan.
When you say look at the ramifications, what would be your concerns on the other side?
You know, I don't know all the details about all of it, whether it's renters, whether it's a housing issue or things like that, whether it's just individuals in their context with somebody else's lifestyle that they're not comfortable with, and it could be in a small rental situation. I'm not sure if those people are already exempt from Elliot Larson or whether it applies to everybody. I just need to do some more research into that, like a lot of issues that I'm not completely familiar with.
Let me end with an issue of education, because Calhoun County is the site of an interesting experiment going on with the merger of the high schools of Marshall and Albion. Do you think that the state should be trying to encourage more of those efforts for schools to consolidate, perhaps save some costs, but also perhaps run the risk of some culture clashes and people perhaps feeling that they've lost the identity of their town if their high school is no longer open?
Well, it's certainly nothing that the state mandated. It was something that community, the communities of Marshall and Albion, decided to do on their own volition.
But Governor Snyder has said he would like schools to look for more consolidation.
Do you agree with him? I think consolidation is certainly, you know, something. I don't know how many school districts got in the state. I'm sure there are several hundred. Many of them are quite small. To me, that makes all the sense in the world. If you get any unit of government together, whether it's a school district or townships or cities or whatever, I mean, we look at the police force sharing between K Township and Parchment. I mean, you look at those things. Those are the things that we need to do to focus on, to concentrate on, to keep costs down in an environment where our tax revenue is not going to grow much. So I think it's a great idea. I mean, they do that, and they share a superintendent in Centerville and Mendon. I mean, there are lots of sharing things you can do without necessarily losing your identity. Now, you would if you combined a school district, but you look at all the school districts around that have combined over the years, you know, I mean, you've got a lot of districts that used to be in existence, and now they're not. They're consolidated districts, and that makes sense. So, you know, the taxpayers are not going to want to fork over much more money if we can give the kids the same sort of educational opportunities and save some money doing it. I'd be all in favor of that, but it should be locally driven, but maybe with some incentives and some carrots offered by the state.
Dave Maturin, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. It's been enjoyable.
Dave Maturin is a member of the Kalamazoo County Commission. He is running for State House in the 63rd District, which includes parts of both Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties. And thanks again to Jennifer Bowman of the Battle Creek Inquirer.
Thank you.
And Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Alex Mitchell.
Thanks, Gordon.